And now, Laurie Mercier.
Thanks, Denise. I'm here with Michael Hellquist, historian and activist and author of a terrific biography of Marie Ecwe, the famous radical and feminist doctor in Portland of the early 20th century. And on the phone with us is Charlie Downing of Reproductive Justice PDX and We Are Brave, Building Reproductive Autonomy and Voices for Equity, to talk about the upcoming Wednesday, June 29th, Birth Control Brigade in downtown Portland. The event will commemorate the 100-year anniversary of the arrests of Nurse Margaret Sanger and Dr. Marie Ecwe for distributing information about birth control in Portland and celebrate women's long and continuing struggles for reproductive autonomy. Charlie and Michael, we heard a bit of good news today about the Supreme Court's decision striking down the restrictive Texas law that would have severely reduced the number of abortion clinics in one of the nation's most populous states. But this recent verdict reflects a century of struggle by women's rights advocates. And this week, we look at the work of birth control activists 100 years ago. First, Michael, tell us about the Wednesday Birth Control Brigade event.
Thanks, Lori. So this Wednesday will be the 100th anniversary to the day of the time when Margaret Sanger first visited Portland and to come to talk about birth control. And let me give you a little background for that. Sanger was on a national tour, and she spoke at several cities. In most cities, she didn't encounter any problems. On West Coast cities, L.A., San Francisco, Seattle, and Tacoma, she was fine. She met a respecting audience, and she moved forward. However, Portland became the only city to give her serious trouble. She arrived, and she gave her initial talk at the old High League Theater, and at that time, three union men were distributing her birth control pamphlet called Family Limitation. They were arrested. Sanger tried to take the charge instead of them. The police wouldn't let her do that. She was about to return to Portland after going to Seattle and Spokane. In the interim, she asked Marie Ecwe to revise the pamphlet, and Ecwe made it more focused on working class issues. And also, the Portland City Council, five men, met in secret emergency session to prohibit distribution of this pamphlet. So Sanger returned. She spoke at the old Baker Theater, and the cops arrested her, Ecwe, and two other women. And I think it's important to note that after the arrest, 200 to 300 women and men protested. They held signs protesting the arrest, protesting the blocking of access, saying, "We too should be arrested." And I think this was the first time that the public in Portland stood up and marched for what we would call reproductive justice today.
So that's a great story. And I think maybe it's part of this hidden history of reproductive rights history that radicals and working class people were really at the center of this movement. Do you want to say something about Sanger and Ecwe's background and their radical politics, how that entered into their collaboration with workers and unions and working class women to fight for women's reproductive rights?
Sure. Ecwe and Sanger had things in common. They both came from very large families, working class families. They saw that their mothers had difficulty raising such large families, and Sanger started out as a radical, heavily influenced by Emma Goldman, and then later, as she got more involved with birth control, she became more mainstream and more conservative. Ecwe started as a progressive and then was radicalized after being beaten up by cops, and she took on more radical causes. So when they met in Portland in 1916, Sanger was very much focused on her agenda and her message, and Ecwe had already been involved in radical activities and union activities. And the issue at hand was that working class women, working and poor women and men, did not have access. They couldn't read the information that was out there about how to prevent pregnancies, although wealthy women could easily get it through their physicians or someone else would get them the written information. So it really became an issue for union members and labor to get the right of information to their membership.
And Sanger, of course, before she arrived in Portland, was promoting contraceptive information in her magazine that she started in 1914, The Woman Rebel. And her words, of course, that still seem radical, quote, "A woman's body belongs to herself alone. It does not belong to the United States of America or any other government on the face of the earth. Enforced motherhood is the most complete denial of a woman's right to life and liberty." But at the same time, and certainly in recent years, Margaret Sanger has been a more controversial figure for supposedly promoting eugenics. And I think historians have written that this is a more complicated, well, complex story that needs to be situated in the times. And so just in a minute or so, do you have something to say about Sanger's role with the eugenics movement of the early 20th century?
Sure. We should say up front that Sanger seriously tarnished her legacy, but she also contributed to serious damage to the lives of many people by supporting eugenics. Now, eugenics was not as we think of it so much today. It was popular among U.S. presidents and prestigious scientists. And Sanger apparently decided to take on the eugenics cause to get more support for her campaign, because birth control was an embattled campaign in the country. She needed money and support, and she thought that if she aligned with another issue, she could get more support for herself. It nevertheless was an exceedingly poor and damaging choice.
Well, Michael, let's have Charlie Downing join us now. Charlie, you're with Reproductive Justice PDX, and we are brave, building reproductive autonomy and voices for equity. And I'm sure that you have some thoughts about why this birth control brigade in this commemoration of Margaret Sanger and Marie Equy's struggles for reproductive autonomy in Portland resonate with today's struggles for women's access to contraception. So could you tell us something about the work of Reproductive Justice PDX and We Are Brave?
Sure. Reproductive Justice Portland, or RJPDX, has been gathering for about a year and a half activists and advocates around reproductive justice issues, including issues on reservations and for Native folks. We last month talked about the Zika virus and implications around abortion. And then We Are Brave is a program from the Western States Center. It's, as you said, building reproductive autonomy and voices for equity. And it's a collection of leaders of color and orgs of color that are building reproductive autonomy and really uplifting voices who are most impacted by reproductive oppression.
And what are some of these key aspects of repression that are facing women and their access to contraception and mm-hmm. abortion rights, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, as Michael was talking, I was thinking we have so much to learn in terms of, as we're really looking at what reproductive justice is and what the meaning of that is. As we know that we've just received a recent Supreme Court decision this morning challenging the targeted regulation of abortion providers. And, we're encouraged to see that we're looking at abortion as another procedure like a colonoscopy or a birth. When we're thinking about reproductive justice, however, unless and until we hold equity and bodily autonomy as the core values when we're talking about these decisions, I think we'll continue to see reproductive oppression, not just in abortion access, but in access to birth control, in obstetric violence, in lack of access to competent care for our trans folks. So to answer your question, what a vision for reproductive justice demands, I think, is that we challenge multiple systemic oppressions at the same time. And folks who want to support meaningful access and reproductive health have to listen to and uplift voices from communities who are the most impacted by those oppressions. And if we do listen, I think we hear concerns around access to whole foods, public transportation, competent health care for trans folks, immigrant worker rights or protections. These are all reproductive justice issues, and making birth control available or abortion legal in writing is not enough. It doesn't make them accessible in life, in real life, in the way people live, or to support healthy communities and for individuals to thrive. For instance, in Oregon, we have 23% of LGBTQ Oregonians who are uninsured, and 22% report being denied medical care. That's a reproductive justice issue.
Right. So reproductive justice really involves much more than a more narrowly framed focus on contraception and abortion rights, but this larger whole-scale view of health and autonomy for women.
Right.
So what are some of the work of Reproductive Justice PDX and We Are Brave in terms of tackling some of these issues?
So with Reproductive Justice Portland, it's really just a space that you can look up. We have a group on Facebook, a space for folks who are advocates in reproductive health or reproductive justice or related fields to come together and build as a community shared understandings and networks. And we meet monthly. We do have a quarterly film series. We'll be showing Sista in the Brotherhood and Mothering Inside, and then talking about economic justice and the impacts of prison-affected families of the prison system afterward. We Are Brave has been doing so many things. I'm struggling to say all the different things very quickly, but we have many people gathering to speak to electeds and highlight and uplift voices of our trans communities and our folks of color and immigrant communities, and having conversations with our electeds and supporting folks within those communities and speaking to their electeds about issues that are of concern to them. We also do some community cultural shift work. So we're going to be doing a performance in August, the beginning of August, in conjunction with an RJ symposium, which if anyone's curious about, I would encourage you to get registered. It'll be 2-day, August 5th and 6th symposium. It will be including workshops in a variety of reproductive justice and health issues.
Charlie, thanks so much. Charlie Downing. And we encourage listeners to check out more of the work of Reproductive Justice, PDX, and We Are Brave. Michael Hellquist, before we close, in addition to speaking on Wednesday at the Birth Control Brigade event downtown Portland, beginning at 11 a.m., at the Oregon Historical Society, and people can join in. The marchers and actors will be performing around downtown Portland. People can check out the BC Brigade Facebook page for more details. Michael, you're also speaking tonight at the Kennedy School and Wednesday at the Q Center. Quickly tell us those details.
Right. The talk tonight at the Kennedy Center is about a specific episode when Portlanders rushed to rescue, to help San Francisco after the 1906 earthquake. There'll be many slides that have been seldom seen. It should be good.
And at the Q Center on Wednesday.
Yes, that'll be at 7 p.m. And that will be Whatever Happened to Marie Equi. It will tell her story.
Thanks very much.